Welcome to Journey of the Monkey King, a chapter-by-chapter discussion of Journey to the West. I'm Quiva, and I'm joined by my friend MJ, as always.
Hello!
So, as well as the normal level of violence that we expect in this book by now, this chapter also features attempts to burn someone to death, as well as urination, so just a couple quick warnings.
Are those two things related?
No, no.
So a monkey wouldn't piss on someone if they were on fire?
It certainly doesn't come up.
Okay.
Because he's the person that they're trying to burn.
Okay. So nobody would piss on monkey if he was on fire or on Song Wukong. That's he's pissed off a lot of people. I do not blame. It's understandable.
If you recall, at the end of the last chapter, he was sentenced to death.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, well, so they start trying to carry out the sentence as ordered by the Jade Emperor, which was to cut him into small bits. It quickly turns into a bit of a farce because they try and hack at him with swords, axes, and spears, and they aren't able to harm him in any way.
Yeah, so the actual cutting up of him is a problem.
Yeah.
I was kind of imagining that perhaps like it's sort of like cutting a worm in half.
No, they just can't cut him at all. They just stab him and nothing happens.
Okay.
So next, the Star Spirit of the South Pole gets the gods of the fire department to try and burn him with fire, but that doesn't do anything either.
Are the gods of the fire department?
Yeah, the fire department is the gods who control fire.
Sorry, that's just a delightful phrasing.
Yeah.
I very much like this sort of civil service nature of this mythology, or the cosmology even.
Like next, they try and go to the thunder department to get them to strike him with thunderbolts, but it doesn't affect him either.
Do they need to fill out a form for this?
Probably, because that sort of thing does happen in this book, so I imagine they probably do.
I love this so much.
There's no mention of forms in this particular instance, but there is in other parts.
Okay.
So eventually, Mahabali, who was given the sentence to carry out, gives up and goes back to the Jade Emperor to tell him that they're having trouble carrying out the execution. And Laozi steps up with a solution. He thinks that all the elixir, immortal peaches, and imperial wine have probably been refined together in Wukong's body, making him basically indestructible.
But also extremely flammable.
But, well, he thinks he can use his brazier... Oh, God.
Please don't cut this out. We had a whole conversation.
I didn't record it, but we had a whole... before we started the episode, we had a whole conversation about how to pronounce that word, and I keep saying brazier instead
I believe
of brazier.
It's brazier, a thing that you burn things in.
Yes.
Rather than the tit holster, which would be... I am picturing a brazier-based... a brazier-shaped brazier, which is delightful. Or just the bra of the gods. D cup, D for divinity.
Laozi thinks he could use his brazier of the eight trigrams to separate the elixir out of Wukong's body and then burn him up.
Fair. Okay.
Laozi takes Wukong, unties him, pulls the knife that they had stuck in his breastbone out, and throws him into the brazier of the eight trigrams. So the eight trigrams are symbols you've definitely seen before. There's four of them on the flag of South Korea. They're drawn as like three stacked horizontal lines, and each line is either a full line or it has a single gap in the middle. They're actually kind of similar to like how a way you might represent binary counting, which I work in software. That's where my mind went.
It is pretty cool.
But anyway, each trigram represents many, many things, but what's relevant right now is that they represent elements, and inside the brazier, Wukong crawls under the Zun trigram, which represents wind. And this protects him from the fire, because there's no fire able to like burn under the wind trigram. but it still blows huge amounts of smoke into his eyes, and it permanently reddens them, and giving him, and these are capitalized, fiery eyes and diamond pupils.
Ooh, scary.
Yeah. And they keep the brazier lit for 49 days.
Or the brazier. Or...
or
the fire thing!
The fire thing. The fire thing that there are no boobs in.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Well, there's one boob.
So they keep it lit for 49 days. And after that, Lousy thought that the process should be finished and opens it up. But as soon as he opens it, Wukong jumps out, knocks it over, pushes past Lousy and his assistants, and runs off. He pulls the iron rod out from behind his ear and starts fighting his way through the Heavenly Palace again. He's pretty pissed.
Well, he's been 49 days surrounded by smoke.
Yeah, 49 days with smoke blowing into his eyes. And I imagine, still incredibly hot, even if he wasn't directly under the fire.
Inhaling it as well. The fact that he can run at all after that, it's pretty impressive.
Good pair of lungs, yeah.
But that quadruple immortality is really paying dividends now, apparently.
Yeah.
Lungs of steel.
No one's able to stop him as he makes his way towards the throne room. He's blocked by Numius Officer Wang eventually, and he's able to delay Wukong long enough for 36 Thunder Gods to show up from the Thunder Department join Numius? The fight. Sorry?
Numius? Numinous?
Yeah, I might have just misspelled Numinous. Let's just... Yeah, I think I misspelled Numinous, actually. I didn't know.
Sorry, that's extremely pedantic. I apologize.
Yeah, I misspelled Numinous.
The Numius Brazier.
Yeah, you can... I've been trying to wean myself off caffeine. And I haven't... I've only had decaffeinated tea for the last 2 days, and I'm going through some mild caffeine withdrawal.
I am on my fourth cup of coffee and first can of Coke for the day, and I am just in awe of your
I've been working towards this for a few weeks because I accidentally started going through like caffeine withdrawal a few weeks ago, where I literally just didn't drink tea over the weekend and kind of didn't notice, and I thought I was genuinely getting really sick until I had a cup of tea and immediately recovered, and I realized I was going through caffeine withdrawal, and it freaked me out because I had a really bad headache. I couldn't, my head was, it felt like my brain was being forced through a pipe.
Oh God.
And I thought I was genuinely getting sick. And then I just realized it was caffeine withdrawal, and that really freaked me out to realize how much of a dependency I had. So since then I've been like, seriously trying to limit my caffeine intake, and so the last 2 days I had cut down to one cup of tea, and now I'm trying to just drink decaffeinated tea to kind of trick my body into thinking I'm giving it what it wants. Right now my brain doesn't feel like it's being forced through a pipe anymore. It just kind of feels like it's being really lightly sizzled on a frying pan.
Okay, that's descriptive. I like it.
You know, just you know, browned a little bit.
Yeah.
Not really cooked all the way through. Brain tartare.
I recently started using the phrase pulled pork brain to describe information and sensory overload. The processing just goes and you're trying to focus on like 12 million things at once, and it's just like, yeah, it's pulled to shreds now. It's usually useless. Possibly delicious. I don't know. Please don't try and find out.
That's how you get prion diseases.
That's how you get Kuru.
And also it's like murder.
Well, yeah. Like how that was secondary to the prion disease.
I will point out that Wukong got sentenced to death, but not for like the two guys he killed who were just trying to doing their job of escorting him to the afterlife. No one cared about that. He's been sentenced to death for fucking up a peach festival.
Yeah, he's been sentenced to death for theft, but not for ending a life.
Yeah.
Which says a lot, really. Says a lot about the values there.
We've gone well well into we've gone on tangents so much we've actually gone on a tangent back to the book, which is I think a first for us.
That's great. I'm proud of us.
So anyway, the gods from the Thunder Department are able to surround Wukong, but he transforms into his monster form with six arms and three heads. And they have him surrounded, but they can't really get close to him, so they just kind of have him penned in for a little bit.
Okay.
So the Jade Emperor at this point is running out of people to ask for help with dealing with Wukong. So do you want to hazard a guess as to who he turns to next?
Someone underworld related? Or are we going to see the return of Sabote?
No, Sabote never comes back, sadly.
Because I kind of want to see the Jade Emperor rock up to him and say, do you know what you've fucking done? No. Oh, okay. Get the dragon spirit? One of those?
No, it's someone you've heard of, but not from this book.
I give up.
It's Buddha.
Oh my god.
the original Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama Buddha. He sends the wandering minister of inspection and the immortal master of blessed wings to go to the Thunderclap Temple on the Spirit Mountain to ask Buddha for help.
Okay.
Buddha hears the story and goes to confront Wukong. He orders the gods surrounding Wukong to stand down while he asks him what power he has. Wukong says, "Where are you from, monk, that you dare step in and question me?"
Ooh.
To Buddha. Buddha introduces himself and they talk. Wukong tells him about himself and the power he's achieved and says he's decided he's just going to take the Jade Emperor's throne for himself.
Yeah, this was coming, wasn't it?
Buddha calls this straight up blasphemy. He says the Jade Emperor has been practicing religion for 1,750 kalpas, and each kalpa is 129,600 years, and he literally like just says, figure out how long that is yourself. And Wukong is just an upstart animal who only rose to achieving human form in his current incarnation. So Buddha offers the great sage a challenge. If he's able to jump out of Buddha's palm, Buddha will ask the Jade Emperor to go live with him in the Spirit Mountain and Wukong can have the throne. And if he can't, Wukong will be banished to the world below.
So he's essentially offering to promote the Jade Emperor out of his current role. Also, is Sun Wukong, has he achieved a human form now? Did that happen?
This is something that was like mentioned once before. It's like, it's not so much that he is like physically turned into a human so much as he like rose from a spiritual level from being an animal spirit to a human spirit.
Right, okay, yeah.
I think it's kind of tied into the idea of, you know, of reincarnation where you could be born as an animal spirit and would be reincarnated into a human, and he's kind of achieved the spiritual enlightenment in this life to achieve a human spirit.
Okay, gotcha.
Wukong asks if he's sure, and when Buddha says, yeah, that's the offer, Wukong agrees and he jumps into the Buddha's hand. He shouts, I'm off, and jumps off into the clouds as fast as he can. And he keeps going faster and farther than he's ever gone before until he reaches five huge pink pillars holding up the sky. And he thinks, this must be the end of the road then. And decides, as proof that he went all the way to the end of the earth, he writes on the middle pillar, the great sage equal to heaven was here.
I like that a lot.
And for good measure, he takes a piss up against the first pillar.
Oh my god, okay.
So he flies back to where he started, landing on the middle of Buddha's palm. And he says, the Buddha better tell the Jade Emperor to get packing.
There, wow.
Buddha says, you pisshead ape, actual quote, since when did you ever leave the palm of my hand? And tells him to turn around. Wukong turns around and sees his name written on Buddha's middle finger. and smells the pool of piss between Buddha's thumb and index finger.
So he pissed on the Buddha.
He pissed on Buddha's
hand. Okay. I can't even make a joke about that. That's
Wukong panics and tries to fly off again, but Buddha flips his hand over and throws Wukong straight out through the South Heaven Gate, directly into the ground. His five fingers transform into the five phases of metal, wood, water, and fire, and earth, and then form together into the five-phase mountain with five peaks, with Monkey Kong, I almost said Monkey Kong.
Love that game.
With the Monkey King trapped underneath it. Buddha is about to leave to return to his temple when two messengers, Tiang Yu and Tiang Peng, run in to ask him to wait as the Jade Emperor wants to thank him in person for dealing with all that.
Clearing that shit up.
Yeah. Tian Peng is the Marshal of the Heavenly Reeds. He doesn't do anything else right now, but we'll be seeing a lot more of him later.
Okay. I'll file that away.
The Jade Emperor decides to throw a new banquet, giving thanks to Buddha. He invites, again, we get a guest list, the three pure ones, the four ministers, the five elders, the six women officials, the seven stars, the eight poles, the nine luminaries, the 10 captains, and 1,000 other immortals and 10,000 sages. Masses of lavish gifts are presented to Buddha, and he is asked to name the feast, and he calls it the Great Banquet for Peace in Heaven.
Aww.
And there's a lavish description of the feast and six separate poems. It goes on for a while, and I am just going to skip it. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fair. There's nothing really more boring than writers describing food.
And it just makes you hungry.
Yeah, quite hungry now, actually.
While they're in the middle of the feast, a minister arrives to report that the great sage has managed to stick his head out from underneath the mountain already. Buddha says not to worry. He takes out a tag and writes in golden letters the mantra Om Mani Padme Hum, and tells his assistant Anada to stick it to the top of the mountain. When he does, the mountain locks in around Wukong, leaving him only enough space to crawl around a tiny bit. And the four fearless guards of the five quarters are sent to stand watch on the prison and to feed Wukong iron pellets when he's hungry and molten copper when he's thirsty. And when his sentence is served, someone will come along to let him out. Eventually, but...
Eventually. And he's not told how long his sentence is?
No.
No. Okay.
And we won't find out, because that's actually the end of the chapter.
Ah.
This was a short one, partially because I did skip over a lot of poems.
Yeah, I mean, if there's like six pages of poems about feasting, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean... I have strong feelings about privileging verse over prose. I am a recovering poet myself, but it's I'm very glad you skipped the poems about fruit.
I don't have many notes, but I thought the mantra is interesting. Om Mani Padme Hum is a mantra that has over 1,000 years of tradition and meaning behind it, but without any real linguistic translation. Mani means jewel and Padme means lotus flower, but Om and Hum are more symbols than words. They don't have any kind of straightforward literal meaning. Om has an entire lengthy Wikipedia article dedicated to just the syllable Om. So,
yeah, it's definitely something to check out. Yeah. I have some very half-remembered surface-level knowledge about it. As a kind of a sacred sound and the reverberations of...
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I pronounced it incorrectly several times there, so apologies.
Just focus on the incorrect pronunciation of brazier.
Yes. But yeah, it's interesting coming from, you know, a majority Catholic country where you wouldn't have that really kind of background knowledge of these kinds of things, where there's not really a concept of, you know, I don't know, almost a phonetic prayer, a prayer where the sounds are what is there and not the meaning of what you're saying. On the other hand, we're also just taught to recite poems like Oscar Wilde, we had no idea what they meant. Prayers, I mean.
True. I feel that the Irish Our Father is far more reverential, I think, but also less so. And that this is, I think for context for international listeners, I don't think people quite get how much Irish kids are supposed to pray in school, because we had like 6 times a day. Like in primary school, you had your prayer in the morning, you had a prayer before you went for your small break, you had a prayer after you came back, and then you had a prayer before and after lunch and the one before you left.
Yeah.
Which is, it's utterly bizarre looking back. But what I really like about the Irish Our Father is the line Saoir sin olc, as opposed to the English line, which is deliver us from evil. Saoir sin
olc, free us.
Free us from evil.
Yeah.
Which I think is a far more interesting word choice than deliver. But I just think it's interesting from because we were colonized, and obviously Catholics were oppressed in Ireland for many, very many years before they decided to take the run of the place and fuck everything up for everyone else.
Make it even worse, yeah.
And make it even worse. But yeah, so I like the choice of the word free there rather than deliver.
Mm.
It's, I don't know if any of that made any sense at all. I'm quite tired today.
No, it does. It's interesting. Translation is always really fascinating. I kind of almost wish there was more translation notes in this book.
Definitely. Okay. Like, comment, subscribe, Hysteria Network on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, Taoiseach of Trash on Twitter, MJ Stokes, EMJAY Stokes on Insta, Oakreef, and what's our actual Twitter handle for this shit?
Oh, yeah, fuck. it's Monkey King Pod.
At Monkey King Pod on Twitter. The show notes will reveal all. Do not skip the show notes. They contain boundless knowledge. They will enrich your life. They will clear up your acne. It's great. Read the fucking show notes.
Oh, God. If you're a hyper nerd and you know what Mastodon is, you can also find me at Oakreef as well on a website name that I chose that I regret, because now I have to read it out to people who don't know Irish, which is avlach.ie, which is avhlach.ie.
Also, check out the Irish language. This entire podcast has just been one big promotional tool for the Irish language. Irish, it's like that because we originally had an alphabet before the colonizers came. That is why it looks so weird. That's why I say this like I speak Irish. I don't speak a fucking word of Irish. I'm learning Irish sign language.
That's kind of, it's kind of arguable about like what you consider colonization or not, because the alphabet was like derived by Christian monks, basically.
Yeah, and actually that is a massive oversimplification, because it wasn't like the English held a gun to our heads, and in fact it existed until the 1950s. When someone came along, an Irish person came along and went, Jesus, this looks very complicated. Let's Romanize the entire thing and make it more complicated.
You know, one of the motivating factors was just costs of typewriters.
Really?
English language typewriters are much cheaper than like buying the specialized Gaelic typewriters.
Can you imagine being the one guy in Offaly? I assume it's Offaly. I don't know why. For international listeners, Offaly is like our Iowa, I think. Can you imagine being the one guy in Offaly who makes the Irish language typewriters?
Everyone just fucks off and says, no, we'll just buy the English ones and we'll use the H instead of the Shevu. That's not confusing at all. We use the letter H as an accent mark. It's so weird.
Oh, I can just imagine him having just the best idea when the whole typewriters become a real thing and the Irish civil service forms and the Irish government forms and you know they have so many fucking documents in Irish, and this guy in Offaly, for because it, I don't know why, but it is Offaly, is kind of sitting there and going, oh, I'm going to rake it in, lads. I'm going to rake in. It's like, nah.
No.
Now nah, we're just going to make the entire language 1,000 times more confusing.
We're just going to use H as an accent mark, and whenever anyone needs to type a fada, they just have to type a letter, then hit backspace, then type an apostrophe, and then keep going.
Of course, that's, well, that'd be how you do it on an actual typewriter, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So irritating. And I kind of feel the burden of like 800 years of oppression where I have to like hit Control Alt and then the vowel. It's just like these two extra keystrokes. That is the symbol of oppression. Sorry, I don't know how much of that you're going to have to cut out. And this is so much more work for you.
I think this is an interesting, completely random aside. After we've already done like our outro twice.
I'm sure we can just keep one of them. All the relevant tags and handles.
But yeah, I'm not sure how coherent this is going to be to anyone outside of Ireland.
Yeah, we've had a week of it, alright? It's been a bit of a time.
Mm.
And we're both
tired.
Yeah, she's off caffeine. You know, it's a whole sort of and I've got pulled pork brain. Please don't murder me to find out and be conscious of the risks of Kuru. But if you do want to, I don't know, harvest it after I drop from the inevitable heart attack that's coming after my seventh coffee, then, you know, go nuts. I'm not using it. I'm not using it now, to be honest.
Slán.
Slán, lads.
I'm just gonna hit stop recording at this point.
Yeah, maybe.